I don't usually title a message, especially because I never know how it's going to, where it's going to go. But I wrote down, live what you preach. So that's always good advice. And also, because evangelism is relational. Pastor's right. I have a disease, a sickness, and that is if I see somebody and the Holy Spirit gives me the go, I'm after them. All right. Closer. Hey, that's better. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Or you can come closer. But there's so many things that I want to share with you this morning, and I don't know where to start. Yeah, I do. I'm going to tell you a little bit what we're doing. We still work with the Romani Church. That started in 2005.
2 years after this church.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been an amazing trip. We've had ups and downs, and we've had many, many opportunities to forgive each other for mistakes, and that's always been good. And we see them every week, and we look forward to it. You had a horrible summer as far as the weather. We've had wonderful weather. In case you want to come someplace in the summer, check's a good one to do. But we've had cookouts with them, and just we're each growing. We're growing in our love for each other and our understanding for each other. And we also visit about 7 or 8 different churches. Different denominations, at least 3. And some are fairly large, 75, 80. That's large to us. And that would fill up both rooms here. And we also have, besides that, we have some small churches. And some of those churches went through hell. They went through difficult times. They were split again, and just some sad things. And you know, you were talking about having families or children here. Families beget families, and children beget children. What I mean by that is, we've had this church I'm referring to. It has struggled, and in the beginning, there was the pastor and a couple of key friends and maybe his wife and not very many people. And they decided they lost their lease because they couldn't afford it. And so they rented a room in a big office building in Chuck. And the pastor brought his 2 little daughters and took care of them while he's preaching. His wife had a sister, and she brought, she had family, some children. They started coming to church. Another man had 2 children, and they started. But they came because they saw at least one other person. And it's amazing what that did. It just opened everybody's heart and gave them hope. And it's still small. I mean, 15 is a good Sunday, but there used to be 3 or 4, and the change came quickly. Another thing that we do, we call it the Bible Club. The city that we live in is called Yesenik. It's about 8,000 people. It's up in the mountains. It's beautiful. You've been there many times. You know how beautiful it is. And this particular town didn't have a problem with homelessness, but the situation financially in the world and here has gotten difficult. And so all of a sudden, or what seemed like all of a sudden, we had 20, 25 homeless. Now, for some cities, most cities, that's nothing. But for us, that was a lot. And I say 25, there's others that are not homeless, but they're not, they're kind of living on the edge. And God just gave me a heart for them. Now, I lived in Yonkers for 12 years, so I know street people. They're interesting. And these people are no different. And I would see them, and I know, you know, that they're drinking something or smoking something or doing something they shouldn't. And but God would tell me to go over and talk to them. And I like a short message now, so don't get scared. We're a tag team, and then I get you all worked up a little bit, and then she'll go for the knockout punch. So you're I just warm things up. You're gonna be blessed. So anyway, I see these people in the park, and I go and sit with them. My check's not very good, but theirs isn't either. So we get along well, and in the wintertime I would shovel the snow off the benches, and they would help me, and I'd give them enough crowns to buy a coffee or so. And in 1 year I spoke to at least 100 of them. And like I say, some of them lived in bunkers, and others just lived in a house, but they didn't have any electricity or something, you know. And so anyway, I talked to 100. Out of that 100, 20 were halfway serious. I would do a salvation message with them and pray with them to receive Jesus. And this would go on quite regularly. And it was funny because we started to, in the winter especially, we had coffee and soup in this church room, small church room. And we would meet there, and they loved the warm, the coffee, and Randa started sending pastries and desserts and stuff that she made. And so we would get 7 or 8 people any given Wednesday. And the Holy Spirit, they would walk in, and they're struggling. And all of them, to different degrees. And the Holy, it was funny, you know, I thought the Holy Spirit would steer me to somebody that's sober, you know, or trying to be sober. But there was three people in particular, and I'm not going to describe them, but they came in, and they're barely crawling. And the Holy Spirit says, go and share the gospel with them. And I'm okay. And I did, and 10-15 minutes later, they're asking God for forgiveness and asking Him to change their lives and so forth. And that was a year and a half ago, maybe more now. They're still the most faithful, but they're faithful also in making and getting drunk and getting into fights. I mean, it's not often they all have black eyes. And it's not makeup, you know, they punching each other out, and but they're faithful, and they're always bringing other people, you know, with them, and isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You'd think God would pick somebody a little bit more sophisticated. So, but we, you know, and they're troublemakers. They, you know, and they usually come late. They're really after the soup and my great preaching, of course. But I've got 4 or 5 other people who are nutty enough to come out and help do that. That's why we could be away and not worry about what's going on.
Yeah.
And they love it. They you know, it's just wonderful. And so it's not something I picked. God said, this is your job, Tom, you know, and He can do the same thing to you guys. Mm. And He will. Because He loves you.
Yeah.
He loves you. There's so much I want to say. They're numbered, my notes, 1 to 10, so I'm starting with number 4, you know. If any man should follow after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So much of what God asks of us is that we deny ourselves. And you know that, you know, before we knew God, we would never do that, right? You're not gonna, I'm important. And yet God's saying, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Now, we don't pick up Jesus' cross. Only he could do that. But he's got a cross for you. Just like he has a calling for you. And you're unique. It scares me how inept I am at some things. You know, especially if it's techie. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that, but there's things I struggle with. And yet, and my check is one of them. I've been there for more than 25 years. I try to learn it. I study it. And I go places where I'm the only person that speaks English, so I have to kind of figure out what's going on. So how in the world can I affect anybody and lead anyone to the Lord when I can't even speak their language, you know, correctly? I can speak it like a little kid, maybe. But God has given me an ability to reach these characters.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And it amazes me. I look in the mirror as much as I have to. And I look in the mirror and I'm trying to practice a smile. It's stupid. It's like, come on, Tom, that's not a smile. That's silly. You know? And yet, somehow, people think it's real. Because it is real. It's the best I can do. You know? I will go into a park, and there'll be people sitting on the benches. We have wonderful parks. And there's probably 10, 12 benches. And I go at the leading of the Holy Spirit. If I don't get the go-ahead from him, I don't open my mouth. And if I did, I would waste my time. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will show you who to talk to.
Yes.
And what to say. And I walk right up to him. Like, you could be the last person in the room.
Yes, he does.
Sitting in the back. You know, God gives you to me to ponder the things of God. When I'm on you, and you don't know what I'm up to, you know. So I put out my fleeting little, you know, smile. And between the time that I see them and I get to them, they're afraid. Well, this guy's weird, but he's not dangerous, you know. And so I just have a wonderful time. And you could have a wonderful time. And I'm not telling you to bring the homeless, because that you know the church has to be ready for that. We've got guys that are gangsters, you know, spend a lot of time in jail, and they're not all ready for church, and the people in the church aren't all ready for them. So I'm not telling you that's what God has given me. He might give you children. It's amazing what chattering kids do to a church. They mess it up a little, you know, but in a nice way. It brings in love.
Bring them on.
Thanks. I'm not even going to try to be some fancy preacher this morning. But I really want to say what God wants me to say. I think it was Jude, it's only one chapter. Chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. It's just before Revelation. And Jude, he says, and on some have compassion.
Wow.
You know, some people, they're hard to love. They're hard, they're lying. These guys, they're cheating, lying, they beat each other up, they steal from each other. They're not good, reliable friends. And yet, He says, on some, have compassion.
Wow.
And they probably haven't seen compassion in their whole life. And on others, he says, use fear. Use fear. That's what it takes to reach them. Use it, and use it wisely. Have compassion on them, and hate even the flesh. No, the garment that has been touched by the flesh. Now, God's not saying that our flesh is bad. Because, Paul, he'd have aprons and napkins. Just touch him. You know, it wasn't, I don't think they had a big ceremony about it. You know, I think he just picked up a pile of aprons and they said, I'd go out and pray with people. And so I'm not saying that the flesh that we have is evil. Because God knew what he was doing when he made this. And so, yeah, even God gave power to Paul, if you think about it, to heal people. It's not like Peter, he used his shadow, but Paul was, whether he did it purposefully or not, he would lay those napkins and different garments down on them, and if they were tormented by evil spirits, those spirits had to go. And if they had to go, and if they were sick, they were healed. Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet, and he traveled about 525 years before Christ. He came back from the Babylonian captivity and was one of the instigators to rebuild the wall and the gates. Well, the wall had already been done, but they needed to put the gates up. And he said at one point, I'm going to go to the wall. I'm going to go to the tower, the watchtower. And I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to see what he says to me. What he says to me. And then I'm going to listen carefully to what he does when he corrects me and rebukes me. To see what my attitude is. So there's so many things that we can do in life for the wrong reason. There were two kings. One of them was named Asa, and another one was Amaziah. Both from Jerusalem. And both of these men were good kings. And they didn't do everything God told them to do. For example, they had problems with the high areas, the mountain areas, where the heathen would go and worship false gods. He would often tell them, get those, you know, those places down, cut them down and destroy them. And some of the kings did, and most of them didn't. And one that didn't do it, interestingly enough, his name was Asa. And yet God said he had a perfect heart. Isn't that interesting? He didn't do what God told him to do. Sometimes, you know, God tells us to do something and we're stupid enough not to do it. And he was one. And Amaziah, the other king, did do what God asked him to do or told him to do. But not with a perfect heart. Not with the right attitude. Isn't that interesting? So God's not just looking to whether we do something or don't do something. No, he does. He cares about that. But he's really concerned that you do it with the right attitude. When I'm talking to these characters, I love them. How can you do that? How can you love people like that?
Wow. Good job.
And I love them. And so my attitude, even though I make mistakes, in God's eyes, I would like to think is pure in heart. And I'm not perfect, of course, any more than you are. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. Habakkuk, by the way, was chapter 2, verse 1 in change. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. It's an interesting verse. I don't know if you read it or if you did read it and you said, "Whoa, that's weird." But it said, dead flies, I'm paraphrasing some of this, dead flies in the perfume of an apothecary. An apothecary is a man who makes perfume. He puts it in different jars and puts in different ingredients. He says, well, if you put dead flies in with it, you know what's going to happen? It's just going to stink. Mm. It's going to send forth just an ugly, ugly, ugly odor. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not something you're going to buy for your girlfriend or your wife, who should be your girlfriend. If there's flies in the perfume, it's going to stink. And he says, in the same way, a man or woman of honor, a man or woman of integrity, of righteousness, of cleanliness, just the smallest folly. And we don't use that word a lot. You know, I've been following, not following, but follow. I did follow. Follow is a sin. And sometimes it might seem like it's a small sin. But if that man or woman is known for their good character and their honesty and their integrity, and they just do something just stupid, inconsiderate, not nice, it destroys their reputation. And God doesn't want that either. 2 Timothy 3:12. You're coming. You ready? 2 Timothy verse 12 of chapter 3. Yea. That's not yea, yippee-doo. That's yea in a strong yes way. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So you wonder why bad things seem to follow after you. They don't have to follow after you because you can rebuke them in the name of Jesus and they have to hightail it out of the place. But at the same time, you can expect that the world will hate you. They hate Jesus, they'll hate you. You know, during the time of the Roman emperors, the first century, actually first 300 years, there was a lot of persecution against the Christians. And they'd be murdered. Yeah. And these people, they would call them, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Hold on. They would call them, you're not inclusive. Mm-hmm. You're exclusive. Mm-hmm. You're saying there's only one way to God. And it's the same argument that we have almost 2,000 years later.
That's right.
It's true. Right? They're talking about us. We're haters. We're not inclusive. We're exclusive. Nothing could be further from the truth. But I was looking at the different things that were taking place. I'm not going to do it now, but taking place during the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And they persecuted for 300 years. They persecuted the Christians, thinking that they were godless because they had they didn't have lots of gods. You only had one, so that wasn't enough.
Amen.
Well, one true God is enough.
Amen.
So, I'm going to stop here. All right? When I'm listening to a preacher, there's sometimes I'm saying, I'm begging in my mind, that's enough, I get it, you know. So, so maybe you're thinking the same thing. So, you might not come on up here, save me. And thank you for listening. Get ready.
We're like a water and a fire. So different, but God is using us. I just want to also add to it that both of us are going through transition. That God is taking us a different place in the spirit, and He's possibly taking us different place physically. We don't know yet, so please pray for us that we will hear clearly what is our next assignment. We do minister. We also go to a charity house. We do a free haircut of the people in the Isle. I do minister a lot of women, most of the time online, but also in a person. We just have amazing camp this last summer where not only Tom and I myself will share, but there were people from United Kingdom that will come in sharing the word, and that flow of the Spirit constantly washing and flowing over our lives. We need the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for Sunday. We have the flow of the Spirit the moment you open your eyes. Mm-hmm. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you, and encouraging you with the word that Jesus spoke in Luke 4:18, what he quoted from Isaiah 61, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me, he has anointed you to preach the good news of a gospel to the poor, which is needy. Might be physically, but the needy recognizing that I need God. I can't do it without him. There's a needy. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to set captives free. Do you know how many times we're sitting in a church and we're bound and not free to worship God? We need to have a freedom to go and worship. Anything that stands between you and God has to go. God will not share with anyone else. He's a jealous God. He wants you. He wants you. He wants to build a relationship with you, because out of that relationship, everything else is flowing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Whether it's a relationship with other people, whether it's a gift that is going to flow, it cannot be apart from the relationship with Him.
Yes.
Amen? So all the giftings and calling that God have placed in our lives, it's out of relationship. It's out of relationship. So we do, I believe that we need to go where Holy Spirit sends us. And sometimes He will give you a word and say, speak to this person. You might not even know what you're going to say. But as you go, the Holy Spirit will show you what to share. Once you obey, the Holy Spirit will show you the next step. He will never show you the whole line of things 10 years ahead. If we're not able to recognize His voice, we're the poorest people. We need to hear Holy Spirit so clearly. Once He stopped moving, we recognize we're sensitive to Holy Spirit. We stopped moving when He moves. So I don't know, God, where I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but You do.
Yeah.
I'm just a vessel. I'm just a vessel, Lord. I'm here because You want me to be here. I'm here because You want to say something to this person. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is not only our brother, he is the Lord, he is the Savior. He is our example, which way we can minister to people. He is an example, the way he was always coming after those who were disadvantaged, those who were broken, those who were in sin, those who were, well, one of us, you know, all of us were in sin, and he reaching out to us and saved us and deliver us. And I tell you the truth, sometimes after all these years, we still have stuff in our lives that need to go. And he is so gentle, so generous, so faithful that he's constantly reaching out to us and say, that thing has to go. Because it will destroy you. Bible says, don't leave any room for the enemy. None. If I recognize there's something in me that needs to be cleansed, it has to go. Don't wait a minute. Don't say it, I'll do it tomorrow. Do it then when the Holy Spirit show you, because then you have the power to overcome. You have the power to overcome. So we really want to encourage you this morning. We're probably going to be praying for people. If you have any needs, that we can be in agreement with you. I do believe that all of us are called the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes. Yes.
Not all of us will go to park and preach the gospel. Like there's a joke that the evangelists have very short message. They basically have the same message to preach. You're a sinner and you need a savior. That's their message. Most of the time, the evangelists need to be outside of the church. Right? Where the prophet and the teacher and the pastor need to be inside of the church. We need the fivefold ministry to work and cooperate like the hand. I can't grab anything if my thumb is broken. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything if my pinky is bruised. Mm-hmm. And so God placed all the giftings in the body of Christ, all the giftings that you have. Just for the record, just raise your hands if you know what God have called you to do in the body of Christ. Does anybody know what God have called you to do in the body of Christ? Just be bold. Be bold. So if you don't know, you want to know. Because if you know, then you can go the direction that God is sending you. You can go the direction that God is sending you. We need his oil. We need his presence constantly flowing. Just the other day, I was starting a fire in East Heartland in Connecticut, where we are with our daughter and grandkids. And I had a, you would think that it was still so warm, but that there in the mountains, it's a little more chilly in the morning. So I just started the fire, and the Holy Spirit immediately dealt with me as I was watching the fire. Immediately. And so I put two sticks, a smaller sticks, and I want to start the fire. I stopped the fire, but the other piece of wood was not as dry. Okay. You can have a fire on one side, and on the other side might not be as on fire. Because the wood is not as dry.
Right.
But as it stays in the fire, it will dry up in the process, and it will burn. It will burn. And sometimes that's what we are. That's what we are. We're not as dry. I heard this long time ago, and I'm not going to say who said that, but it always reminded me, when you're dealing with someone and the person is raw, needs to dry out. That needs to be cooked. That needs to go through the fire. That needs to go through the fire in order to have the flavor. that God have prepared. It's a fire of God. It's not a fiery furnace. It's a fire of God. And as we allowing God continually cleanse us and burn over us, I don't know how about you, but I don't want to do anything without God. What would be the point of living? If I can do things without God, then the Christ died in vain. But if we live for Him, through Him, by Him, and He can live through us, then the power and the presence is manifested wherever you go.
Yes.
So whether you walk into the grocery store, whether you walk into the working place, the Holy Spirit immediately will deal with you and say, pray for this person, or say this, or don't say anything. But you can sense the anointing flowing in that moment. It can touch the people's lives without even you knowing. It can touch the people's lives without even you knowing.
Yeah.
We just moved to a smaller apartment after my father passed away a little over a year ago. And we have a Christian family downstairs, and we go pray every morning with them 5 days a week for half an hour. And we started praying with them. They've been there for 25 years. They started praying with them for people in that apartment building. And one by one, you started touching their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You stand in an elevator, you can look anywhere else, but if you look in straight in the face, the fire of God and the power of God can touch people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's what we are here for. That's what we are here for. So I just want to encourage you. I do wish that we would have such a desire to come closer to God in such a powerful way that there will be nothing between us and Him. And if it is, then it has to go. The moment you're recognizing, it has to go. God is a sovereign God, but He gives us a free will. He gave us a free will. You know what? We're saved now, but there are people outside. They have never heard the gospel. They don't know if they would die today where they will go. They don't know that. And it's up to us to share it. You know what I... just recently, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that fear of God, the reverential fear, has a double effect. It protects you from the inside, but also from the outside. The reverential fear and awe to God will protect you from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can stay in there. But it will protect you from the outside,
mm-hmm.
from what the enemy is trying to do to you. If I live in the fear of God, then God will always back me up.
Yes.
God will always back me up. It's not because I'm great. It's because He is good.
Yes.
It's because He is good.
Yes, He is.
He has the best interest for all of us.
Yes, He is good.
And if we would know how much He loves us, that we would not wait for the moment to share that same love that He have given us. We have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
So much to be thankful for. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I know there will be a lot more. If you have anything, we can agree with you, pray with you. We would like to do that. And please pray for us that God will show us the steps that we need to take, that we can be always in His will. And moving from one level to another, from one place to another. Because you might not have everything, but if you have God, you have all you need.
Yes.
You have all you need. Because in Him there is a supply, in Him there is a provision, in Him.
Yes.
There is everything you need. It's just reaching out and receiving.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So be blessed.
Great.
You know what? I'd just like to do this right now. Let's just all just, you know, we like to end every service with an opportunity to receive Christ. And we do that not because we think that, you know, there's 20 people in here that don't know Christ. We do that because we want you to know that anytime a friend or somebody comes that doesn't know Christ, they'll have an opportunity to do so. That's why we pray this simple salvation prayer together. So right now, let's just bow our heads. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're one of those folks that Irena talked about that you don't know where you would go today if you were to pass away. Where would you spend eternity? If that's you and you want to know for sure, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So right now, if that's you, I just want you just to raise up your hand real quick, just between you and me. Everybody else can have their eyes closed and say, that's me. I want to pray a prayer to receive Christ. Is there anybody at all? Praise God. If there is anybody here who is recommitting their life to Jesus, I want you just to raise your hand and say, I'm going to pray this prayer and I'm going to recommit my life to Jesus. Anybody at all? Praise God. Let's just go ahead and pray. If you wanted to raise your hand, or maybe you should have, let's just pray this right out loud, and God will meet you right where you're at. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness. I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. From this day forth, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or you wanted to pray that prayer, it's that simple. You can just let us know, message us on Facebook. We'd like to give you some things, perhaps, to help you in your walk with God. I'm going to let Tom and Irena are going to be available for praying in just a moment. But I'd like to do this. If you would like to sow into their ministry, we're going to have you give. If you would like to give, you can still text to give, the text to give number that is on our website. And if you need a giving envelope for a love offering for the Lillian Dolls, they do not charge when they come places. They go where God tells them to go. So if you would like to give toward their ministry, you can go ahead and just get an envelope. We want to sow into their ministry. We believe in what they're doing. It's that one by one, one by one. That's how all of us came to Christ, one by one. And that's how they're getting them saved. They're getting them into the kingdom. And, you know, Jesus said after meeting with Zacchaeus, he said this. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so he's after the one. He'll leave the 99 and go after the one. So praise God. If you go ahead and take your gifts in hand, let's pray over them. And then I'm going to allow the Lillian Dolls to be up here. And we're just going to let them pray for folks. If you have a need in your life, just going to be down front here. And they're going to pray for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the Lillian Dolls. The message, the challenging message that they give us. God, to live in such a way that we just live for you. And wherever you direct us, whatever you say do, we do. Wherever you say go, we go. Father, that you would help us in our daily life to live out this gospel. Thank you, Father God, for divine appointments and conversations with people in our workplace, at school, on our jobs. In Jesus' name, bless these gifts as we give. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Right now, we're going to have our closing sending out verse. Let's stand, if we would, please, together. And we're just going to say this out loud as our closing prayer. The Lillian Dolls will be available right after. Please take the fellowship in the back in case, just to allow reverence up here in the front as soon as we finish having our sending out verse. All right, let's say this out loud together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8.